on, everybody, and welcome back to the Old Moon Podcast, episode 84.
Right? 86.
Okay. You know what? I had three in a row. I got three in a row. At some point, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect, okay? Nobody's nerfed. All right. That's just the way it goes. Episode 86. I'm your host, Blue Squadron, joined by my co-hosts, Jaycoon VT.
Hi, my name is Jaycoon VT, the before the T. I do a lot of endgame content such as Olin's, Party Boss Splits, or Zekia. I've actually been doing a casual playthrough of Expedition 33 recently, and so you can find me live over at twitch.tv/JaycoonVT, the before the T.
Right on. And my boy Blonde Bear.
Hello, I'm Blonde Bear. I play old school RuneScape, and I like to party.
Classic energetic blonde as usual. And our special guest this week, someone who I haven't gotten a chance to interact with a whole lot, but as an absolute staple of the BDO community and was for a very long time and is now back from outer space, our boy Kerr. Kerr, that's your time to talk.
Sorry, your audio is a bit weird.
Jump rule and then bam. You're good. Professional content creator, ladies and gentlemen. This guy's been doing it for years. He definitely knows what's going on. Well, while Kerr... he was here like 2 seconds ago. That's fine. While Kerr gets his stuff together, let's talk about what's going on my screen right in front of me. We have a fishing protest going on Comma Sylvia 5 in North America, where a bunch of protesters have brought a bunch of differently colored wagons, like red, yellow, green, turquoise, blue, pink. You see, they just keep going. There's a lot of protesters here, and there's Jay running around. Big shout out to Jaycoon's community, who recognized it and told us about it. They're here, and the reason we know they're protesting is if I turn up the volume... They are literally just screaming. They are literally just screaming on repeat to be as obnoxious as possible to the people who are not at their computers. But you know what? I respect the hustle. Now, I think I know. I'm going to turn that back down now, but like, just to understand that that is what is going on in the background. Kerr, have you fixed your microphone?
I have. Can you hear me?
Okay. All right. So let's get the intro from Kerr, and then we'll talk about what's going on right here.
Hello. My name is Kerr. My type is 5'4", Latina, preferably toxic, and likely wants to ruin my life. It's nice to meet y'all.
That's what I'm talking about.
Bro, same.
I see.
Oh, my bad. My bad.
That's crazy, dude. Same. That's insane. Okay. Right on. So Kerr, how did you get started with BDO? We'll go through this real quick.
So how did I get started with it, or made me addicted originally?
All right. How'd you get started? What made you get addicted to it?
So I started playing the game. I think it was 3 months after launch, and they used to have these codes where it would give you access to the game for like a week or two without having to buy the game. And so I would randomly try it, play it for a week or two, and then quit and get another code and for a new account. And the thing that made me originally addicted to it is probably my hate for the Black Rose Guild. Now, that may come as a surprise for some. I'm sorry, Jaycoon. But originally, in the early stages of the game, you know, as a young, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed player that only wanted to play Tamer and explore the game, I found myself in Mansha Forest, right? And... there were ogres there, and out of nowhere I'm killed by a ranger, and this ranger is saying weird stuff in chat like stay out of my forest, like he's Shrek with the swamp or something. And I change channels and I go back to trying to kill the ogres, right?
Yeah.
Well, then out of nowhere, 3 Black Rose members node camp me for like 2 hours straight because I'm stubborn and hard-headed. And from that point on, I was like, I'm gonna grind hard, I'm gonna get gear, and I'm gonna fuck with Black Rose as much as I can. And that kind of got me addicted to the game. I guess the rest is history.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest with you. I think that your story, inspiring. Yeah, I think your story is actually not super different from a lot of people. So there's a lot of hate out there for Black Rose, but there's a lot of hate out there for a lot of different guilds. A lot of the guild controversy kept people interested in the game. A lot of the PvP back then really kept people engaged with the game and playing for a long time. So no surprise there. So why'd you end up quitting? You've been not with the game for about 3 years now. So is it the fact that BR died, you killed them, you were done?
Oh, I think they're coming back, right? But
at the time they were.
I think the main thing is that I think I kind of lost a spark at some point. Also, just like, you know, focusing on different things IRL. But I think the main thing was, I guess I kind of like lost the initial thing that got me like really pulled into BDO. So instead of kind of like dwelling in like what I thought the game could be, I was like, okay, I'm going to just not play the game cold turkey for 2 years. And then I'll come back and reevaluate and see how things are. And so that's kind of where we are right now.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so you say you lost what made the game kind of what it was. Was that like the spark, like the guild drama and like the PvP? Did you feel like, because this was 3 years ago, so this was before we even got a lot of the PvP changes that people are currently upset about. So can you put your finger at like was it just like you just kind of lost interest with like the guilds, or just enough guilds died that you're like, okay, well, the fire's just not there anymore. I'm going to do something else now.
I think one of the main things that frustrated me, I guess, and from a content creator perspective, a lot of the times was the feeling of disconnect between the GM and CM team and what mainland Korea wants to do. I felt like a lot of times they would, you know, we would be promised these grand things at the ball, but then radio silence for months at a time. And so it kind of got tired of being in that toxic cycle of like, hey, we're going to XYZ change this and the crowd goes wild. And then 5 months later, it was like radio silence. And obviously, that's not something that I'll hold against the NA, EU, GM, CM teams, because their job is just to put out fires and keep the wagon on the road, right? So, yeah, I guess that was the main thing, if I had to like...
Well, yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense. It's funny because we're actually at the end of your cycle right now. We're in the radio silence phase. We have got about 30 days before we hit the, oh my God, copium phase again. Pretty insane. So can we talk for a second? All right. So let's talk for a second about your returning player. So what brought you back to the game? Because I know it wasn't PvP. So what brought you back?
I think the main thing is just people like fucking Jaekoon, where it's like, if I'm just trying to like
be in his chat, fucking Jaekoon,
and chat with him, and she's like, Kurt, I don't know if you've played the game lately, but XYZ, Kurt, are you playing the game yet again? I saw you at War of the Roses. Are you playing again? I'm like,
I did see you.
God damn. Okay.
See you there.
Yes, I'm trying to play a little more, Jay, you know? So it's just like, I kind of miss, you know, the people and the other content creators and things like that, like the Twitch side of things.
Yeah, I think we all do. Absolutely. Okay, so you're playing a little bit more active. How actively are you currently playing after coming back to the game? Because, like, I'll be honest with you, returning player experience, normally that's when you're playing, like, the most actively. Like, you come back, you fall back in love with the game, and you kind of get back on that ground. It sounds like you've been playing for at least a few weeks now. How many active hours a day would you say you're doing? Are you AFK fishing? How often would you say you AFK, or do you just turn the computer off?
So I don't do any AFK things, which I know is crazy because fishing is obviously, that's a controversial topic, but fishing's crazy. But honestly, I would say, like, for example, last Saturday, I think me and some other homies, we did AOS for like 10 hours straight, or like, I don't know.
10 hours.
On Friday 2 weeks ago, I think I grinded for like 8 hours, which is the longest I've grinded in a long time, right? So it's like,
yeah,
decently enough, like not insane addict the way I used to be, but definitely, I mean, at least 15-20 hours
you
a week,
said the way you used to be. Was there a time period, well, like what time period was that where you used to be like
in BDO? Like, what time period in terms of, like, what year were you, like, super, super active in the game?
So, honestly, I was pretty much played the game virtually every day for the first 5 years-ish, I would say. Yeah, for the first 5 years-ish, I played it pretty much every single day, maybe even first six years. I think the last time that I can remember that I was just like super enveloped into BDO was around whack when they added Elvia orcs and things like that, right?
Okay.
Which I feel like that was quite one of the parts for a lot of people. Yeah. And so like I still played it after that, you know, for like another, I think I played another year after that before I went on that 2 to 3 year break. But I think that was kind of like the culmination where once they started changing it so that all channels were Elvia and these other things like that, and the game started feeling a little more empty with Marnie Realm and things like that, I kind of started to fizzle a bit, if that makes sense.
Okay. All right. And what, so you're saying what's keeping you playing the game right now is like the practice AOS tool you play with your friends again. So it is still the PvP and we're on like that. I gotta say AOS is good. That's one of the game modes that I think that they've gotten right. I think that people really enjoy AOS. Have you done any guild league?
I have not because I'm still in lifestyle retirement home.
Ooh, so, I remember lifestyle. You
know, if anybody's got a guild out there for me, let me know. But honestly, I think one of the interesting things is just kind of seeing the way that they've changed and the pivots that they've done with gearing and the way it is now compared to the way it was then. Like, I still am on the fence about carrot ass accessories.
Wait, hold on. This is really
good.
How do
you guys feel about them? Like, do you think they were a good change made for the game, or do you think that it wasn't such a good change?
I don't know. This is good. Kurt, you should give your honest, do not, Blonde, Jay, myself, we're not going to say anything. I want to hear your honest. We, of course, will share our opinions. But you're a returning player. You've been untouched by the stain of either Pearl Abyss or the community's thoughts on all of the gear changes, the different aspects of the game. We'll talk about Karazhan first since you brought it up. You said you're on the fence with Karazhan. What do you think is good about it? What do you think is bad about it? Where do you stand as like a returning player?
I think the thing that I think is good about it is I think that it gives like incremental progression, right? Mm-hmm. So like instead of having to go from Tet Debo to Pin Debo, which is a massive step, you can like make incremental steps along the way, right? And you go back to those 10-15% success rates, which kind of give you dopamine.
Okay.
But at the same time, I feel it can, or some of it can seem a little hollow because you can't sell the carrot ass accessories and you can't see the silver value of them go up. Like back in the day, whenever you would hit a Tet Debo, it's like, okay, this is a 60 bill item. Oh, I hit a Pin Debo. That's a 300 billion silver item, right? So I can like look at my wheel and see like, okay, like the value, and I can put a silver value on my time or at least just see where I've come from in terms of like a market standpoint. So now it's kind of more an intrinsic or lettering kind of value because you can't sell them. So it's more of a commitment, I imagine, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. Okay, so that's a fair assessment on Karazhan. I think that when Karazhan came out, I said that they were overall kind of net neutral for the game. In my opinion, I felt that they basically destroyed any build diversity at all that we saw, like in accuracy accessories or anything else, like a DP set, whatever. But you got like the kind of crystal diversity, so they kind of added more-ish build diversity with the Karazhan crystals than we had before, but your gear wheel now for every single player in the game on every class and spec in the game is now exactly the same, and everything requires a mountain of Kron stones. I mean, the developer said, oh, it's going to take you less Krons. No, that's really kind of like a total lie. Now you're definitely going to be using a lot more Krons than the previous experience of enhancing accessories and things, where you could just buy your accessories off the market before. Now a lot of players are stuck basically enhancing Karazhan for long periods of time. You could make the case that they could buy a Pen Debo and then transfer it to a new Karazhan, but I mean, most players are not going to do that. That's not their experience with the game. Overall, I would say it was kind of a net neutral on the player base as a whole. Now, maybe looking back on it, maybe it was a little bit negative, but that was kind of my experience. Blonde, you've basically been the Statue of Liberty so far on the podcast. Blink twice if we're holding you hostage. But Blonde, your experience, I remember what you said about Karazhan. Can you educate everybody what you thought about Karazhan back then? Now we fast forwarded almost a year now. What do you think about Karazhan now?
Oh man. I think it's I think it's a good system. I just think it's implemented poorly. I think that's the big problem, is that all you're feeling now more than ever before is the Kron front loading. But I think that having more steps to gear progression and having more often clicks feels way better. Like, that's hands down a better experience when you're getting to tap your gear more often and feel like you're making more progress. I just think that everything around the system is what's hurting it more than anything. I mean, I think that's a big systematic problem with BDO, where like, hey, you're clicking your gear more often, but we haven't updated AP brackets and we don't have anything for you to do between pen and deck level gear. Like, there's no new spot you're going to. And I think that like having a game where you have all these stages of progression, and now when it was before, it was tet to pen, felt like a massive jump, whether it was Debo's or whether it was Black Stars or whatever, felt fine. Now we've separated that into 5 or 10 steps. That's awesome, because now I feel like I'm hitting it more often, but now I feel it's more useless because now I have nothing to do with all this stuff, and I think that's causing a lot of issues with the feeling of that progression more than anything.
I agree. And yeah, that's something I forgot to touch on, is I don't know, man. I didn't really consider this in my original assessment, but I think part of the reason I feel a little bit worse about it now is that every time I hit something, it's only +1. Like, you work like really hard, you pity it out, like it's billions and billions, like 80 billion, +1. Ding, congratulations, yeah. +1. Ding,
there's a lot of subliminal psychological stuff that you get affected by. Like, again, if that was a bracket, yeah, like if we had exactly a lot like more brackets and they measured out the AP you were getting per upgrade after, like, you know, 340, 350 AP, if like 350, 351, 352, 353, 353, like had these sort of bigger jumps, so when you dumped, you know, 100, 200 billion into a single accessory tap, it felt better because the systems were surrounding you to feel it better than literally just a single AP. You know, now it's like, yeah, you're getting a single AP, but you're clicking more often, which is good, but it sucks because like you're not doing anything with that single AP. Like, I just hit a deck ring at 21 attempts in, pit almost pitting, like, you know, 2/3 pitting, and like it's like cool, but like there's nothing I'm getting access to, which, you know, there's no, it feels like there's no point. If there's no sense of like purpose for the grinding in the game, I feel like you kind of lost a portion of your player base when they don't feel like a reason to play. But again, I mean, we've talked about this for a long time, where like PA's definitely catered towards the newer returning players more than anyone, and anyone new or returning has a million things to do versus the players that, you know, play quite a lot or play a little bit more than your average person are, in my opinion, suffering unless they, you know, do every single facet of everything in the game.
Right. Okay, right on. And Jaycoon, Jay, I think that you were overall pretty positive about Karazhan. How do you feel about it now?
I mean, it definitely gives me something more to do, which, you know, at the stage that me and, you know, Blonde is in, and Kerr, what's your current progression right now? Are you like
good
up
question,
there
right Kerr. Now? What is your gear score now?
So I actually haven't swapped to carrot ass accessories, but
you pronounced it perfectly. I just want to say that was nailed it. Anyway,
I have 2 out of 4 Tet Fallen God armors, because one of them wasn't out when I last played. And then I have 3 pin Debos, and then the rest of the slots are, you know, like 1 Tet and then 2 pin Distos. So
okay, what's the
kind
number?
Of the top end of what gear was basically 2 years ago.
But what? Okay, so how long have you been back playing the game for, and what's your gear score now? Like, what's the AP plus the DP? Where are you at right now?
AP plus the DP.
Or just give me the AP and the DP numbers. That's fine too.
Where are you taking
780?
So you're 780 gear score.
780. Oh damn.
Yeah, I was very addicted at one point.
With no Karazhan, you're 780?
Well, Karazat doesn't give... Well, I guess it does give quite a bit of gifts.
Yeah, it gives a ton. Yeah, it does. Bro, what are we talking about? Okay, hold on, Okay,
so I do have sovereign weapons, though. I have made the swap to sovereign weapons. All right. So the sovereign weapons being enhanced, that added a bunch of AP as well.
Okay,
that's going to be the main chunk of your AP because the sovereign or the Karazats are literally just pen debos, like tip to pen.
Right. So, but you get your AP back from the DP back from the distos too. So, okay, I'm gonna assuming that your math is correct. 780 is actually still. I'll be honest with you. That's still like S plus gear score. You're talking like super end game. 780 gear score is. Some people say, "Oh, you're still gear." No, that's just a lie. That's flat out a lie. 780 gear score is definitely like end game. You're basically full Nuv Karazad across the board. And then you're probably sitting with Wailing Fallen God armor too.
Yeah. I'm logging in to give you an accurate number, but it's around there. Everyone.
Okay, you could snip it and put it in the chat too. I can just pull it up. Okay, so assuming that's right, so how long have you been back playing the game? How many weeks now? Or months?
I would say a month now. 3 weeks to a month now.
Okay, so you've been back for a month. And how much gear score have you gotten since you got back?
Not a whole lot, because I honestly don't care a whole lot to look into the carrot ass system currently, so I just kind of like stack silver, especially with like Heidel Ball coming up. That was like always a ritual, right? It's like if the ball is within a month and a half, don't spend any silver, wait, because it can make big changes, and then go from there.
They're probably just gonna give us a free deck Karazat, right? Truly.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So that was kind of the main thing. So I had just have a bunch of silver that I haven't used for anything until after the ball.
Okay. How crazy is it there's a fear of like getting more gear? How is that the fear now versus before? That's what we all wanted, or well, not we all, but some people always were like, yes, please, more gear. And now it's like the fear is like getting a free piece of gear.
Now we're all like,
it actually reminds me of this one clip. I can't remember whose clip it was, but it was Heidelf Ball 2024 Festa, and they announced the free pen Black Star, and the initial response was like not like super big, and then like Endlave had to like try and hype people up for the free pen Black Star. It was just so it felt like a little...
I was there live. I was literally in the audience live. Keep in mind, I was in the front row. He had just told the audience, "We're getting a free pen Black Star," and it went dead silent. Keep in mind, the crowd had been cheering for like everything, right? Like we were all super excited. We're all super hyped up. We're sitting in Heidel Castle, IRL. We're gassed up, bro. Everybody in the audience is fully bricked, fully erect. Okay, and so we're clapping for everything, bro. And he's like, "Free pen Blackstar," and it was nothing. There was like no response. And then people like reluctantly, like some of the people like started clapping. And then other, like the guy to my left, like looked over at me and was like, "Is that good? Like, wait, what?" Like, dude, like the response from the audience was bang on what Jay just said. That's actually crazy that you said that, Jay. That was insane.
Yeah. It was just that's what that reminded me of when Blonde said that we're fearing getting more gear, which is interesting because, you know, naturally that we should be being happy that we're getting more gear, but it seems like it's the opposite. And then like wondering why is that the case?
I think that people fear getting more gear because a lot of people did a lot of the work for their gear 1 or 2 years ago, and they were like really far ahead, or they had a lot of gear score. And then every time they give away gear, they get fearful. They get fearful that everyone else is catching up to them while they're not playing the game. I think it's probably like that. I think subconsciously, that's basically what's going on. But moving away from Karazat a little bit, Kerr, can you speak on some of the game systems since you've come back to the game that you maybe have been like maybe that you liked or that you saw and you were like, "Oh, I don't know how I feel about that." Like that, there's a lot that's kind of changed in the last 3 years. So like what's some of like the best stuff that's happened, and then like what are some of the worst changes that you found? Because I mean, you're a PvPer, so we could be here all night for the worst changes, but like what's some of the good stuff, and then maybe some of the bad stuff that you've kind of found since you've come back?
So I think some of the best stuff is kind of the age-old things where I feel that the new player experience, as always, has improved more and more and more, right? So the route of progression for a new player has just continued and continued to get better and much more easier and streamlined. I think the fact that you get basically two free pin black stars is, that was pretty surprising. I thought people were kind of trolling whenever that was stated. What I do like, or at least from like my initial observation, is that in PvE, there's much less garbage classes than I've ever seen in the game. So I feel like there's some classes that are at the top, or at least seem to be at the top. But then I feel like the classes that are in the middle, there's much more classes in that mid-range hodgepodge than ever, which I feel is pretty good because, I mean, typically you shouldn't feel bad for what class you grind on, right?
True.
In terms of things that I feel are bad, I don't. As someone who was very crazy, very deep into life skilling, I don't feel that fishing should be as rewarding as it is, AFK fishing. Okay. I feel that there was probably other ways that they could have gone about it. So I say that's probably one of the most like blatant things where it's like, okay, it keeps the numbers up, it keeps things looking good, but people aren't really playing the game as much as it may seem on the surface. Another thing that I do like, I like the party content. So I like that you can hop on, do, you know, the quick bosses with the boys, and, you know, the dungeons and make what? Probably, you know, 15 bill a week just from doing your weekly bosses plus a little bit of AFK on the side, probably even more, honestly, but that's just like a really simple estimate. I kind of like those things. I like that you make okay silver from AOS and RBF now. I think, like, obviously it's behind when people can grind up to 3 bill an hour, but the fact that you can spam AOS and RBF and make, you know, close to a bill is pretty cool. Like,
close that's to a bill is something
we would have wanted.
Well, close to a bill, I think he's being generous, right? RBF, you're going to be using consumables and stuff, and then it's at maximum, I think, 700 mil. But yeah, it's definitely a lot more than it used to be. I don't think AOS is a bill. I don't think AOS is even what RBF is.
Oh, it's pretty good, actually. AOS is like currently 144 mil for a win. It's pretty good.
Okay, and you can... Oh, okay, well, I mean, yeah, maybe it is
and
a bill. Who knows?
A lot of matches will end within, what, 5 minutes?
Right on.
But that's only currently because whale tendon potions are max price.
Market
so,
price.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting that you say all that. Quick question, Kerr. Do you feel that PvP is good because there is good rewards? Do you feel that players will play the game modes more because there is more rewards? Because I feel very strongly that that is not the case. But I'm curious what your thoughts are. You're a veteran PvPer. You have more of a top 1% perspective. So like most of your time has been spent as like a super geared player. But like in your experience, do you feel, because back in the day, like let's just be honest with ourselves, we lost money, Kerr, when we were doing like any PvP back in the day. But we still did way more PvP back then, which is why nowadays, I mean, God, we're rewarded better than ever. But there's less people than ever doing PvP. So do you think that like, yeah, the rewards are good, but do you think that like if they rewarded even more, do you think that like players would actually get involved in it, or do you think that there's really not a correlation there?
I mean, I'm a believer in the idea that if something is, then it will be. So in the sense that I feel that if the activity or if the thing is fun and people enjoy it, they'll do it regardless of whether the rewards are good. I think there are a degree of people that would play it if, you know, or do something they wouldn't normally do if the rewards were there. But I definitely think that in terms of like passion and wanting the most people to do something, I think that if you make it enjoyable, then the rest just falls into place, which is probably
preach, brother.
One of the reasons why, you know, it's not as PvP isn't as active nowadays, because they kind of remove some of the things that people used to love, right?
Yep. Completely agree. Okay, yeah, I was just wondering. All right, so you had mentioned, we'll address one of these points one at a time now, since that was your last point there. We'll cycle back to your first point. You felt that AFK fishing was not a good fit. Like AFK fishing being as rewarding as it is hurting the game. And currently, we talked right at the start of the podcast, and now we're going to dive into it a little bit more. About like the current state of AFK fishing in BDO. You already gave your thoughts on it, and you feel like it's not good. I'll be honest with you, Kerr. Completely agree. Couldn't agree more. But I'm actually wondering how Blonde is now, because, again, Blonde, Statue of Liberty up there. Blonde, do you feel that AFK fishing now do you think it's still hurting the game? Do you think it's helping the game? Do you think it's net neutral? Do you think doesn't matter at all? Because, I mean, I made that video a while back, and then a bunch of content creators made rebuttal videos saying that I was full of it. But I'll be honest with you, it looked like it kind of resonated with people.
I think it's really hard when you're handing out like free paychecks to people to get people to be like, yeah, this is a bad thing. Free money for me, that's a bad thing. I feel like it's really hard to get people to understand the longer term ramifications because they're not seeing the end result. They're seeing the right now there's money in my pocket and this is a good thing because I like money and I want money. So I think it's a weird predicament where like I feel it's bad, and I think it's bad because it sets a certain type of precedent of the game, but I feel like people that need or want the money right now because they haven't reached whatever artificial goal they're trying to get to aren't gonna feel like it's a bad thing. I still just think that like copious amounts of money being inserted into the game as if it wasn't a problem back when orcs was like rampant with like the big inflation of money in the game, like it's how are we not seeing this like basically a repeat of that scenario where we had massive inflation from raw silver dumps from the Elvia grind spots that came in and the things that followed that. It's just, I don't know. I just feel like, I mean, I guess in a way it buffers the mentality of like, oh, we're just grinding for silver that gets turned into crons, that gets turned into gear. But it's like not every person wants to have a hot box in their, you know, house running 24/7 every day just for, you know, currency in a game. It's like you're basically running a Bitcoin farm or something. It's weird. So I don't know. I think it's I just think it's like a healthy thing to want to promote, like, oh hey, like I want to leave my computer on 24/7, you know, like there are ways to like have your computer go in sleep mode and stuff like that for to be power saving, whatnot. But it's still just one of those things where it's like this isn't like a normal thing and it shouldn't be considered normal, I guess, in my opinion. So what? I'm just not a big fan personally, but
okay, all right. And Jay, and that's from Blonde. Hi. Blonde, well, let's real quick. Blonde, you're not really playing BDO very much at the moment, but you have a tremendous amount of experience in the game. So, like, again, so I'm trying to give the perspective here. So we've got the returning player who used to play a ton and then comes back and sees all these people fishing. He's not, like, really a super big fan of it. Blonde, who has been a very consistent player for a really long time, save until around the time that they made the fishing change, but I wouldn't say it was a direct result of the fishing change, is now playing old school RuneScape, probably mainly, at the moment, but still loves BDO and hopes that the game gets better. Now, Jay, you're someone that is a veteran player, has been playing basically forever, but Hi. You are still currently actively playing the game in the top 1% of mm-hmm. players' gear score. How do you feel about fishing right now?
Fishing. Well, I definitely can't deny that it's helped me a lot. It's definitely given me a lot of silver, made me a lot of silver to make my gains. And I think that's like the main thing that people focus on right now rather than the future stuff, because, you know, you guys are always talking about like the health of the game, the future stuff. And, you know, I don't know what's in store for the future of BDO. I'm really bad at predicting things like that. And maybe that's where like the majority of BDO players are, is that they don't know. They don't know how to like think about like what's to come for a future, how to develop a game and all that stuff, being a developer or like designing game designs and systems like that. And that's where I'm at. And that's why I'm just looking at face value, is that, hey, like this system, it's here to help me. And I'm taking advantage of it, and it's definitely helped me make my gains. And so that's kind of where I am at, is that fishing is helping me. So I'm just doing the fishing. So
very short term. Yeah, I applaud this. Mm-hmm. It was literally it fits straight.
Jay, with all this great exactly gear you're clicking and all this gear you're achieving, that's so awesome, and I am so happy for you that you are achieving all of your goals. Yeah. And now it's a little bit faster. That feels mm-hmm. great. What do you do? What do you have access to now that you've clicked all this gear? What new things do you get to do with all that money you've just dumped into your gear?
I started focusing a lot on PvP stuff because my guild started getting more into PvP things. So I've actually been really, really motivated to progress on that, getting my new Jhon crystals. I just got my two Jhin accuracy Dawn Crystals, which were a freaking 45 billion each. So again, the fishing has helped me with acquiring those two. Same thing with my Deckius Lanterns. Same thing with all like the other light stones. I've also invested in some saddle accessories. So all of that money has been dumping into like getting the gear that I need to do the content that I want to do. And so, you know, again, the fishing has helped me with that. And I feel like for you, Blonde, you don't have anything. You're not focusing anything on BDO. And so maybe that's where the problem is of why you're thinking that way, is because you don't have a goal right now and that money doesn't go anywhere. For me, that money did go somewhere, and it went to somewhere that I do the content that I'm enjoying, which is the PvP that my guild is doing. So
do you think it's better to just like to instantly achieve a goal? Like, is you getting like a 5, 10, 20% speed boost on income based on AFK fishing? Like, does that not in any way, shape, or form, considered a positive in every facet?
So I'm thinking it, I don't know if logical is the right word to say it, but why would I choose the slower way when I can choose the faster way, you know?
True. Why would I feed the baby broccoli when it wants ice cream? Because ice cream has sugar in it, and sugar tastes good.
Well,
I like things that taste good, right? I like ice cream. It's very good. It's very good. It's tasty. Oh, sorry. Okay, my friend.
I get it now. Because it's bad for the baby to feed it ice cream all the time. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yes. The analogy is that although ice cream tastes,
you're the baby.
Ice cream tastes good, Jay. It is not good for the baby long term, right? You can't infinitely feed a baby ice cream and it'd be okay.
I get it now.
So my analogy is that I think that long term, it does feel great. I'm sure it feels awesome, and you are achieving your goals. But I think the precedent it's setting is an unhealthy factor for the game. I think that. And this is just me playing 8 straight years of BDO. I like the concept of like everything a player goes in and grinds for is like they grinded it on their own, or, you know, God forbid they were someone that bought a bunch of costumes and sold them, but that's a fraction of of the community. The premise and mindset I think that a lot of players take into the game is they're the ones actively going and grinding and getting the gear and materials back when EXP was like that. What ruined EXP grinding for a lot of people in the community was the AFK dummies and the fact that, like, you know, players were able to AFK the material that an active grinder wanted to achieve, but now everybody could just hit level 62, 63, 64, just not even actively playing the game. And I think that, and it could just be philosophical differences on the game design and the future of it, but I think that that's where I'm at for sure.
Okay, I definitely get it from your perspective, but I just like to keep things very simple, right? Is that I like the ice cream. I'm just going to eat the ice cream now. Even though, like, over time, it's bad for me. But hey, that's just my decision to make. Is that I want the ice cream now, and I'm eating the ice cream.
That's true.
I'm loving it. So
it is your decision to be ignorant of the future, and that's fine and that's fair.
And if people want to choose to do that, then if it wants to choose the ice cream or the broccoli, I feel like that's.
I agree. It is each individual to make that choice to do what they want.
Unrelated question, Jay. Do you live in America, in the United States of America?
I live in Canada.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, Canada.
Oh, thank God.
Honestly, though, for me, it's different. Like, it's not even so much about the silver being bad from the game. I just feel like there was a large missed opportunity there. So, for example, I used to be really crazy about life skilling at one point. And some of the most fun group content that I had in a lot of MMOs, but specifically in BDO at one point, was when they originally buffed hotspot fishing a couple of years ago. So basically what I would do is me and like 10 friends would get on a boat and we would sail around and fish at hotspots because the number of people fishing at them didn't affect it. And at the time we could make 60 mil an hour when people were grinding, making, you know, 40, 50, which is pretty good. If you had the storage of triple float rods. So in my mind, it's you kind of lost an opportunity to incentivize people doing things more actively and with other people more so than, you know, just AFKing at the computer and making much more. That's kind of my perspective. It's like there was other opportunities that it could have gone with.
Yeah. So at this point, I agree, but I think at this point, they're in a position where they can't nerf AFK fishing because people would get upset because the baby's going to start crying when you take away its ice cream. But like they basically have to find a way to make the ice cream healthy, which is hard to do.
Frozen yogurt, maybe?
Just inflate the whole game economy. Make everything worth however much percentage more the game just got inflated by.
Icing
the tide. Like
that's basically it. Yeah, I agree.
Like, I don't know. Does anyone not remember when Elvia started printing raw silver and massive amounts of, again, raw silver into the game because we were no longer grinding jackpot grind spots of, like, getting an accessory and that was the value. Those things then went down because people were making and generating so much silver that the markets ended up going down because people were able to just, like, there's a lot of other factors. It wasn't active, just one thing, though. But
that was having a massive grinding.
Right, for sure. But even so, even though it was active grinding, that still had a massive effect on the economy, and everything just shoots up. When everybody has tons of money, everything becomes, like, everybody's buying and selling at massive rates. Like, as we generate more income, the things that we buy are going to be costing more and more and more in the game, and it's like, I feel like we're just about to hit a 2.0 of that, except actually you can't, because no gear is bought or sold on the market anymore. Everything is clicked with crons, so everybody's going to feel this massive inflation, and like it's just going to go straight to crons, which people already feel negative about, and then they're just going to feel even worse about because now they're spending on crons, and then okay, they finally achieved their gear, but you know, I guess if you're a PvPer, it's different, but for PvEers or a majority of the gameplay, you're not doing anything with the new stuff, like because there's nothing to access between like 10 and 10, you know what I mean? Like
10 and 10,
there's no progression there.
Okay. Yeah, right on. Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't want to talk about AFK fishing too much, but like, clearly there is a large portion of the community that feels that AFK fishing is doing real damage to our game and real damage to the community. I spoke out in this in a video where I elaborated my thoughts, I don't know, like 2 or 3 weeks ago at this point. And again, there's also a coalition of people on the other side of the fence that are, they like their ice cream. You know, and like, I understand that perspective. This is honestly, I have to give Jay Kuhn credit. This is the first time, Jay, I have ever heard you stand up and say, no, I think your opinion is wrong. Here's the reason. In like months,
have I?
That's the first time that I heard you come down definitively on one side of the fence, plant your feet and say, Blonde, I think you're wrong. Which I appreciated. I mean, honestly, Jay, again, I
think RuneScape is trash.
And now it's, oh my, so base.
I'm glad you're brave enough to state your opinion. I just would like to see in 5 years where my game is and where your game is.
Stop. Okay, all right. So, all right.
Remind me 5 years. Where's RuneScape and where's BDO?
Okay, all right. So, Kerr, other aspects of the game that have changed aside from like the AFKness. What are your thoughts on what was the second? There was a middle point you had. We had touched on the final point with PvP and like rewards in PvP, and then we touched on AFK fishing. Have you tried Node Wars and like open world PvP at all? Like since you're doing so much AOS.
So, correction about earlier, 750, not 780. So, 750,
okay,
no carrots.
That's a little bit, okay,
wow,
yeah,
that is
okay,
a big difference. That is a world of difference.
You lied to us.
That's like a year of progression or something, you know? That's, that's a lot.
Yeah, a year for a normal person.
You know what would help with that?
And we're not normal here.
But, so I've done a bunch of open world on Arsha, at least until... Okay, so the main difference is there's DP. Apparently, did a DR change, right, over the past year or two, where certain super armors give you damage reduction taken, and then people are much more tankier nowadays due to the formula of the way evasion works and the way DR works. So I'm still not exactly caught up on how that is. But there's some people where it's like, you know, you blow them up, and then there's some people where you really tickle them. And so... it's kind of fun when the fights are even, but obviously, you know, I enjoy it overall. Like, I liked War of the Roses when I'm on Kama.
Yeah, you could say it. Berserker is completely overpowered, and so is Striker. We understand.
Awakened Sage, bro. Awakened Sage and Awakened Hash, bro.
Okay.
Put those classes in the bin.
Yep. Agree. Completely agree. I think Awakening Dosa is actually probably one of the most egregious classes in PvP at the moment. But that's neither here nor there. Okay, so your thoughts on the game coming back. Cure, last question with regards to the returning player sentiment. Do you think you will be playing the game still in 2 months? Just be honest with yourself. Your face said everything I needed to know. Okay, all right, that's it. That's all there is. Okay, I'm not gonna make you say it. I'm not gonna make you say it.
The problem
it's okay.
is, man, and I'm gonna be honest. I fucking love BDO, and like I'm always gonna be that like rebounding fucking ex. That's whatever. But the thing is that I don't think. The main issue that I had has changed. The issue of them giving empty promises from the Korea dev side and then just going radio silence with it. So I kind of like watched back little parts of the ball that happened back in December about PvP changes, about changes to resistances, about potentially swapping some super armors to forward guard, et cetera, et cetera. And none of them have happened. So I kind of just seems a little bit of the same. I mean, not to be a Debbie Downer, but if we're being quite frank, it's things like that, which is like the main reason why I stopped playing as much, if that makes sense.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's absolutely fair. I mean, the devil's in the details. Like I kind of expected that. Well, now on to our next topic. We'll shift off the game a little bit towards, not because I remembered what your final point was. Part of the reason that you returned to the game was the fact that you remembered making how much fun making content was and how much fun you had with the community and stuff. Is your plan to start making video content in the future? I mean, like, or is, like, that's part of why you brought it back. What made you get into streaming? We'll start with that. What made you get into streaming in the first place?
I think the first thing, or the main thing that made me get into streaming at first, gosh, it's been so many years ago. So like at a high school, I don't know what I wanted to do. So I joined the Marines, right? It's a young, dumb 18-year-old kid.
Thank you for your service.
Yes, sir. And so I, you know, wanted to have some things to do that didn't require me to, like, you know, have to fucking find a way to leave base or, you know, have to spend money, especially once I got out of the military, because I'm from bumfuck middle of nowhere. Like, my graduating high school class had 28 people in it. Like, that's how small, like, of a hometown that I'm from. So, I don't know, streaming, or at least initially I got into watching Twitch with some of the old greats like Moreland TV, Koyo, Dark Crusade, at this point, you know, Potion Shop, for better or for worse, you know, whether you love him or hate him, he was content. Mm-hmm. I will say that. You know, Lakari, et cetera, et cetera. So I just kind of like that vibe of just, you know, hanging out with the boys on the couch and just kind of talking to chat, you know? And mm-hmm. So I gave it a try, and I guess the rest was history in a way. So I think that was the main thing. It was just like the people that you get to meet, being from like a crazy small town, right? It was nice to like have the reach to like, oh shit, like I'm talking to, you know, a couple hundred people right now, or, you know, like, oh, this random video that I did not thinking about it helped 100,000 people figure out whatever, you know, they found value in it. So it's just little things like that that kind of, in a way, it was kind of like dopamine hits, you know? I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. Like, those little wins are like dopamine hits.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, I get it. I completely get it. Okay, so now moving forward, now that you've come back to the game, you've been playing for a few weeks. Are you planning on continuing making content, or are you kind of retired from content creation now? Have you kind of moved on from that aspect of your life?
I think the main thing I really like is like the interaction. So like, for example, I love podcasts, right? So like I used to do podcasting with Moreland and Tim Allen and some others back in the day. I've, you know, been on a bunch of podcasts. So I like that aspect. That's probably my most favorite part, is like interacting with other creators and being on podcasts. And I think one of the most interesting things that Twitch has changed is the whole squad streaming now. I think that that's a really cool dynamic for like what a lot of things that Twitch does wrong. I think that that was a pretty cool addition. So that makes me, you know, feel more inclined to do it again, because you can kind of just, you know, I guess like merge chats with someone and y'all just like hang out in Discord and do your own thing.
Are you talking about the stream together function, or yeah, are you yeah, talking yeah, that, about squad stream
but the stream together concept? Yeah,
I
yeah.
hate that.
You hate it? Why do you hate it? I
hate it because it adds your viewers together, and people have started to realize. I mean, shit, I'll pull up the BDO category. I bet they're doing it right now. So people have started to realize that you can abuse this to your advantage. Yep, there they are. Oh, I scrolled past them. So we have AFK drop streamers in the category that are, and I'm not live right now, so I can show this, but there are AFK drop streamers in the category that are just running reruns and just basically AFK 24/7 just drops all the time, which is illegal in a drops category. Together. Yep. And they're streaming together in order to boost their viewership. And so they are now front row, where someone like Jaycoon should be above them in the category. They are sitting above Jay and every other hardworking streamer that actually is like relevant and trying to make content for the game. Those fucking losers are basically getting recognition where other streamers should. And so the stream together function is way too easily abused. I think on paper, it's not a bad idea, but I think that adding each other's viewers together is... it's basically just like, okay, hey, do you want to view bot with me today? Okay, yeah, sure. Like, that's basically what it is. And I understand that Twitch wants to have other streamers collaborate, but there's probably better ways to do that that are not nearly as easily exploitable as this current system. But that's just my take, because again, I think it's just so abusable. But I think your take is valid on the whole thing.
I think, yeah. And also my take is from the outside looking in, as someone who hasn't done it but just sees the concept of it as an interesting thing. I definitely think, yeah, like it's the whole abusing of the drops and the AFK streaming and manipulation. I mean that's a can of worms. So yeah. I definitely see what you mean from that point of view.
I do agree with you. I do think that overall, the BDO community is a great community to get started streaming in. And I think it strongly encourages people to make more BDO content in the future. Kerr, if you decide to make more content, do you think that, like for BDO, what kind of content do you think you'll make? Do you think you'll focus on PvP content? Would you guides, YouTube? What are you thinking? What would suit your fancy nowadays?
Good question. I don't know. Maybe I'll 1v1 Jaycoon and take his spot on the podcast. I don't know. Maybe I'll
1v1 me right now.
Oh, I have to take my fish for a walk. But that's honestly a good question. I actually don't have a legitimate answer for it. But probably somewhere in the podcast sphere. You know, I'd like to either, you know, make one, join one, something like that. And then I don't know, maybe like host community events, right? Like I remember the whole, I don't know if you remember the whole Black Spirit League with Good Vibes Guy.
Oh, I remember.
Positive. I'd like to little things like that, that even if it's like a once a month or on a Saturday morning kind of thing, it kind of like gives people something to look forward to and something to be a part of. I think concepts like that, that are kind of forgotten, but they're like really sick when you're in it, even though they have issues. I think something like that would be pretty fun.
I completely agree. I'm a big event runner myself. I love running events. Sadly, Perlabus doesn't really support events nearly as much as they used to before, but it's still a lot of fun to run them, and I think it's really good for the community in general. Blonde, same question. If you were to go ahead and start making content again ever for the game, what kind of content do you think you would make?
Chilling and grinding, dude. That's all I ever did. That's all I'll ever do. I'm just chilling and I'm grinding. If I ever get a wild hair up my butt and I'm like, oh, I new treasure's out or something, like, or a new grind spot, you know, like, I don't know, maybe, but I'm just super unmotivated. But I am at the top, so I mean, it is what it is.
Okay, but yeah. Let's say you were motivated to make content, and if it wasn't for BDO, what kind of... This goes for like everybody too, for you, like you, Kerr, as well. Like, if you weren't making video content, what kind of content would you have gotten into instead?
Consuming. What I do is probably the bottom rung of quote unquote content creation, because I just go live and yap. Like, well, I'm chilling and talking.
Just chatting. Just chatting is valid. People do just chatting.
Blonde, let's be honest for a second. Some of the top streamers in our category literally just that's all they do anyway. They just sit there and they grind in circles all day, and then they do node war at the end of the day. That's it. That's all they do. So like, and it doesn't mean that their content is necessarily bad or it's bottom rung. It just, you know, that's just how it is. Like that's some people's idea of content and people like watching that. So don't devalue that. Anyway, Jay.
True. Me? Hi.
Well, Jay, you asked. I can answer your question too. If, like, because you had asked this on a previous podcast as well. What do you think, like, where would you go if you couldn't make BDO content? I'll be honest with you. I think that's a question that a lot of the BDO content creators are going to have to start answering soon. True. For better or for worse.
Mm-hmm. I think I mentioned in a previous podcast that I actually initially got started with, like League of Legends, honestly, is where I would have gone if I was a little bit more, like, mentally...
injured.
What's the word for it?
Not toxic.
Not injured. But like, there's like if it was protected better, if that makes sense. Is that if I could protect myself from all the toxicity from League, I honestly think League is a really fun game and I really enjoyed my time there. It just was a game that was not good for my mental health. So I don't know, man. But if that wasn't the case, I honestly would have been a League streamer because I really love that game
too. I probably would have had a mental meltdown. I'm with Jay, bro. I probably would have had a mental meltdown and said some bad word or something. I would have just lost it, bro. Like, League literally just changes you as a human being. Like, it's just changing a descent. It's a descent into madness. Anyone that's played League knows.
But it's such a fun game.
It's stop. Okay, it is a fun game, but it's only with friends that you know aren't going
to
unfriend you.
Think about. It's that meme where it's like the kids like thinking about playing League and they're like, ah, yeah. And then actually playing League and they're crying and they're that's literally League of Legends in a nutshell.
To answer your question, Jay, I mean, I've been trying to branch out my content for years and I think I've done a pretty successful job of it. And like the first category I ever tried was Throne and Liberty. Obviously, I have this tournament coming up and I've been very successful in Throne. I think that when Chrono Odyssey comes out, I'm basically just going to jump on that hard because I've heard some behind the scenes insider trading about that game that make me, they make my dick hard. I'll just be 100%
candid. Is that an MMO or what is that?
It's an action combat MMO. I've heard a lot of things about its monetization not being pay to win. I've heard that it's going to have an open world flagging system like BDO, which is promising for its PvP systems. It's not I don't think that the combat's going to be as good as Black Desert Online's combat, but I do think that it will be sufficiently I think it'll be sufficiently good enough that people will have fun. Like, this will be like Dark Souls with magic, basically, which I think that a lot of people will really enjoy, and I think that I'm really going to enjoy it. I want to find a game that I can fall in love with, just like I fell in love with BDO. I love BDO and everything, but I think that if anything, I have to look at it pragmatically as a content creator. I have a business to run at the end of the day. I love BDO, but what the developers have shown me in the last 365 days is they are not capable of running BDO for the next 10 years successfully. With, you know, I can't fast forward even 5 years and expect, if I don't stream anything but BDO in the next 5 years, to expect to still have a job in 5 years. Okay, like that's just where we're at, because the devs have shown us that, again, they're disengaging. I think that they're basically just done, but I'm still holding on to hope that they're going to fix it. And I love BDO with all my heart, and so I keep making content for it, but I would be doing myself a disservice as a content creator to not explore other options. I do think that first it was Throne and Liberty. We've had a great run in Throne and Liberty, and now every time an expansion comes out for that, I look forward to playing it. I'm very excited interacting with that community over there. I'm hoping that I get to do the same thing for Chrono Odyssey as well. I've had a lot of fun playing in Chrono Odyssey. I've been playing a lot of Valhalla lately, but I think that that's more of kind of like a mobile game that I've been, I don't know, it's just kind of what I've been doing in my free time. You know, it's just like a break from all the other stuff. It's just a fun little mobile game that I don't know if I'll make like a crazy amount of content for it or if it's got like longevity in that standpoint, but I've had fun with that. But like, as far as content creation, other MMOs I've really had a lot of fun with, like Guild Wars 2. I've been branching into Guild Wars 2. I think that if I had never found BDO and I ended up being a content creator, it would 100% have been as a shoutcaster for StarCraft 2. Even nowadays, I love shoutcasting.
StarCraft 2, really?
Oh yeah, I'm a big StarCraft 2 player and fan. I watch StarCraft 2 content every single way. Oh yes, I still play that, or I still play it and interact with the content. I don't play it every day, but I interact with the content every day, like no question. I watch videos for it every single day. It's still extremely popular in Korea. People still follow the game a lot. It's a lot of fun. But like,
when did it first came out?
StarCraft 2, 2010 or something.
You're a Protoss lover,
maybe.
2010. Love the Tosh.
Oh my god.
Were they planning for another StarCraft 3 or something?
My life for IR.
No, they're not. No, they're not, because RTS is a dying genre. No. I'm a Terran enjoyer, but I also hit. I can play all three races at a high diamond level. But I'm master as a Terran. I've always loved that game. I've always wanted to be like Day Nine. Like he was like my like bro. He was like the guy I looked up to.
Dude, I met him at a tourney in Anaheim like 10 years ago.
I met him
bro.
Too. I went
crazy.
To his tournament.
Oh, he did.
Looks so cool.
I went to his tournament. His Red Bull Battlegrounds. I went to Red Bull Battlegrounds. I think it was in Austin, Texas, a long time ago with my brother. I have pictures. It's awesome. I have a shirt that he signed, but I've washed it so many times that it's not signed anymore. But that's okay. I've always wanted to like play. If I find him in my category with me, I've always wanted to like rate him and be like, I love you. but like, regardless, I've always wanted like Husky StarCraft was someone I really enjoyed his content back in the day too. And now again, I watch Loco's content nowadays and Rotterdam and all of the really great content creators in that category. But
classics,
I'll be honest with you, I'm really glad that I landed on BDO. I think that this was my destiny. I am really good at making content for MMOs. I think that especially like PvP content for MMOs, I've got a talent for doing this and like running tournaments and shot calling and all of that stuff, and I think that's why people enjoy watching my content. It's what I love so much about content. So I'm just hoping that Chrono Odyssey has that, and if it doesn't, no problem, we'll play Guild Wars 2. That'll be a lot of fun. I'm gonna play Guild Wars 2 regardless anyway. But like, yeah, I mean, that's where I would land. Kerr, if you hadn't ended up in BDO, where would you be, and if you could make content for anything, what would it be?
Okay, don't judge me, but I think knowing what I know now, honestly, I feel like if I was going to, probably GTA RP, all right? Which is weird to say because I was always like, RP is weird, bro. Like, who role plays in a game? Like, role play, just be whatever. IRL,
I would be so good at that.
I don't know. Like, I tried it once.
GTA 6 coming out in like 10 years or something?
It's anyone it was supposed to come out. You had to ruin the mood, Jay. You just had to go and say something. They delayed it another year. They delayed it another year, but thanks for reminding us, Jay. Kerr, I completely agree, bro. I actually think that low key, I would be so. That would be so much fun.
I feel like you'd get sucked into it.
I would get sucked into it. It would be crazy. Yeah. I would adopt a personality and I would just run with it. Okay, low key, I'm hoping that Crimson Desert ends up having that same kind of RP aspect to it, because they said they it was going to come out as a solo player RPG, and then they were going to make it into what Grand Theft Auto is now. So like, so that you could run around and like RP with people and do stuff.
So you can steal cars?
That would be... Oh. No, you wouldn't steal a car. You wouldn't download
Bugatti,
a car, Jay.
The Bugatti.
True. but yeah, no, I completely agree, Kerr. I would love to do that. That would be super sick. It's certainly a better answer than League of Legends. What a loser. Blonde, well, Blonde, if you could make content for anything, what would it be?
I mean, it'd probably be RuneScape at this point.
Oh my god, bro. God.
Probably just do what I'm doing from BDO on RuneScape.
So
just chilling and grinding, bro.
Chat said sleeping.
That's true too.
That's true. If Blonde could make money sleeping, you know that he would be like, sure, yeah, I'll sleep on stream. Make that work. I don't know who wouldn't want to do that, to be honest with you. Overall. Okay.
Well, if I can interject, Blue, to what you said earlier about BDO and the Twitch community. I still to this day I feel like BDO on Twitch is kind of an anomaly, where at least in my anecdotal experience and opinion, I feel like the BDO category is probably the quote-unquote easiest category to grow from a zero to around 100 viewer streamer out of almost any category in general, And I to this day, I still don't really know why, because I know a lot of other categories you can very easily just get stuck, right? Mm-hmm. Even if you're doing, you know, considerably well.
Do you want me to explain it to you?
Yeah, for sure.
You're absolutely right, by the way. Couldn't agree with you more. I think the BDO category is 100% probably the one of the best categories on Twitch to get noticed in and to develop in. That's why I'm at where I'm at. And that's why, again, I know the answer to this question. Number one, the bar for content in our category is respectfully in the dirt. It's really low. We don't have, like, we have probably 20 really solid content creators that make content on a regular basis for our category. But aside from that, it's kind of niche, right? The YouTube space is basically, for the most part, uninterrupted. You could start making YouTube content and immediately start picking up views on YouTube because there's not very much BDO content going on YouTube. And the same thing goes for Twitch. It is not an extremely popular category where the front row is everybody's got thousands of viewers. Nope. Again, you can very easily get into the third or the second row just by having 20, 30 viewers, right? Like, that's really easy to do. And it also helps that the people at the top of our category, or most of the streamers at the top of our category, really try to help embrace the new streamers. So people like myself and Jay and Blonde, we raid people in the category, especially like up and coming streamers. We try to promote them. We try to demonstrate their content on stream. We try to interact with them. We're all interacting in each other's chats and things. And then again, that helps people grow as well. And it helps word of mouth and things. And so even people, again, just a few viewers here and there can kind of get you into the front row in our category, because our category isn't particularly very competitive, despite the fact that we have drops all the time, which is ultimately what I think, again, boosts the viewership in the category. I mean, there are some people that say that drops don't help anybody except for the first few streamers, and those people are lying to you. Again, drops helps everybody. Like, 100% it helps everybody. It does help people disproportionately, obviously. It helps the person in the top slot or the second slot more than it helps people in the second row. But it does help everyone in a big way. So, like, you have drops. You have people at the top who have a good mentality. We only have a few people that are viewbotting in the category. And then you have people that are helping each other, which helps tremendously. If you contrast this with the World of Warcraft category, there's a lot of people viewbotting in that category. There's a lot of people not playing by the rules in that category. And it's very cutthroat. No one, unless you're, like, in the club, or you're trying to get in the club, no one's raiding you unless they like know who you are and you're like a homie and you've talked and all this stuff, right? Like, no one is trying to help you but yourself in the World of Warcraft category. And this has always been a problem with that category, is it's just so fucking cutthroat all the time. And I think that that's most categories on Twitch. Most people on Twitch, it's a cutthroat business. And make no mistake, the BDO category is no different when it comes down to it. We still have people try to cancel each other all the time for their own personal benefit. Shit, I dealt with this not too long ago myself. I'm sure that the other streamers can all say, and we've all got stories about how people just try to drag us down left, right, and center. But at the end of the day, I think that we do a better, much better job of helping each other than everyone else does.
I agree. I definitely agree with that. I think there's also the, like, other side of it too. That's one of those things where it's a blessing and a curse, right? In a sense that it is probably the greatest category to go from unknown to, you know, that arbitrary number of 100. But I also think the things that make it great for that are also the things that make it hard and impossible for most people to either break past that glass ceiling or to transition to a different category, right? In the sense of, like, I feel that
also,
for example, most of the times, if you're a BDO creator and you're doing well in BDO arbitrarily, a lot of times if you swap to a different category, a lot of times, you're lucky to get maybe 5-10% of what you'd get in BDO, right? Because there's a higher, as you said before, there's a higher barrier or higher level of game that you have to bring to try and, you know, grow outside of the category. So it's kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like a straitjacket in a way. It's interesting. But then, you know, when someone does break through that glass ceiling, it's like, okay, like, typically they have something, right? There's something else that's the draw instead of just BDO.
There it is. So, Kerr, That's how I know you're a content creator. You have a very firm understanding of this. Yes, you. Yep, that's 100% right. So to relate this back to Blonde, no offense to Blonde, but Blonde, you said it yourself. When you just sit there and grind in circles every day, you can get popular in the BDO category by doing that, right? But if you try to translate that success into another category, as Kerr said, those viewers don't translate super, super well. Right? Like that's basically how it goes. That's how a lot of BDO content creators struggle with that. So although it's easy to get big in the category, it's very difficult to branch out to other categories more so than almost any other category, mainly because there is a wild, I'm going to choose my words carefully, but the BDO community is like they're that crazy girlfriend. There's like this attachment syndrome where like if you main BDO as a content creator, people love you. Like they can't get enough of you. They want to endorse you. They'll have your stream open, stuff like that. But if you play another game, you have forsaken them. It is like stabbing them in the back. They would key your car.
Oh my God.
They would literally key your car. Or if it was a Tesla, they'd do far worse. Okay. But like, I've like straight up, like it is like this unhealthy, like you can't play other games. Like to this day, I still make BDO content every single day. I put out BDO content on YouTube. I'm still playing BDO constantly on my stream. It's like typically my primary game, but I still played a lot of Throne of Liberty, right? And that was a big thing for me. I had to fight it, bro. Like people to this day still get really mad at me for playing something other than Black Desert Online, despite the fact that I swap categories very frequently now. So like I've trained my community. Like my community is unique in that like they're like, yeah, whatever, he plays BDA, he plays Throne, you know. I maybe they might not like Throne, but they still watch some of the content I do in it because it's really entertaining, right? But like I think that it's not like that for most people. And I went through this phase where I was like changing my content, like to be like, to include Throne in the Ready, not even to like cut out BDO, to literally just include Throne. And like, it was, I saw people unsubscribing. People were just like, bro, I got a crazy amount of hate. People would disown me. Like it was insane. And we had to fight through that. So I 100% understand what you're saying when we come across like that. Jay, you went over to Throne and you actually started doing like the highlight channel. And I was like, bro, keep doing this. This is so good for you. And then you never did it again because you're an idiot.
Well, I kind of got too sucked into the game to be making content. Like I really enjoyed the game too much. And that was kind of, I think that was the downfall for me, was I got too addicted to it. And then I quit.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. But it is what it is. So it's easy to be cut, like get your first like set of viewers in the BDO category, especially if you catch a big raid or you have people endorsing you, or even if you're just, again, if you just have like a webcam or a VTube model, God forbid you have a VTube model and your voice is attractive or something, like holy moly, you're front row on the first day. It's insane, bro.
Hot
like,
take, VTubers killed Twitch. I'm sorry, Jay, I love you, my Twitch. Brother. But it's a hot take. I gotta be honest.
Okay, here we go. Hold up. This is okay. Hold on. This is gonna be a discussion. Okay, why do you think that VTubers killed Twitch?
We're the ice cream. Why would you want broccoli when you can have ice cream?
It's similar in the same way that BDO itself, right? As in the BDO community, you can make content and do well, right? Without actually doing a lot of content, right? I feel that not all VTubers, okay? But I feel that there is a degree of VTubers, especially the ones that accentuate on specific dimensions of the model,
tend to kind of prey. You can say it as fun.
I mean, they accentuate on the tits and the ass and all that of the model. Mm-hmm. And I feel that they prey on lonely guys offering this girlfriend experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that that isn't good for the category. I'm just going to be
like
honest.
They do that anyways,
now,
if they're not a
obviously,
YouTuber or not. No?
Yeah, obviously like not all do it, but a disproportionately large number do. And I don't think that it's good for the mm-hmm. for the website as a whole. But that's just my hot take.
if I go through just chatting right now, I think that okay, so Kerr, I stand on the other side of the fence of this issue, but I see your viewpoint. I'm going to respectfully disagree and offer a counterpoint. If you look at a much larger category like just chatting, do you feel that OnlyFans girls and VTubers own just chatting? Do you feel like that is...
Oh, yeah, 100%.
What percentage of just chatting do you think really, like, is this type of content? Because it's not just VTubing, then. Because at this point, you're talking about them preying on, you know, men. Well, let's go through just chatting right now. If I go through just chatting, the front two rows don't... down to the third row, I don't see anybody. There's a first VTuber is Iron Mouse sitting at 7.5K in the third row. And then if I scroll down further, I haven't seen a single, like there's some lewd girls in like the fifth row, like 1.9K. But I'll be honest with you, I think that people blow this particular issue out of the water too much. And Asmund has talked about this before, so I'm going to kind of mimic what he said because I feel very similarly on it. I think that it's really not as big of an issue as people might think. And I think that VTubing levels the playing field for women. I think that women have a bad rap on Twitch because men come in, let's be honest, it's a male dominated space. And when men are going to judge, a lot of degenerate men are going to judge women based on how good they look. It's just how attractive you are. And that's that if you don't look attractive, they're just going to click off the stream. What VTubing does is it takes the attractiveness out of the equation. So even an ugly person can just put a VTube model on the screen and interact with their chat. What it becomes about then is like, okay, well, all the VTube models are all very attractive. Okay, so no problem there. So then it becomes about how entertaining are you? I think that it gives women a fighting chance, even if they maybe aren't the most attractive human being in the entire world. I think it gives them a fighting chance of being successful in a very male-dominated category or male-dominated space, which I think is fair for women in general. I mean, you look over at male VTubers, you used to, no offense to Jay, but most male VTubers are not nearly as successful if you look over at their female counterparts. You know what I mean? Like, again, Iron Mouse sitting at like 8K. I think the closest male VTuber is probably going to be quite a degree under that in general. There's always going to be there's a certain aspect of what you're saying that is true, where society has kind of trained because of COVID and a lot of like social media and things, teenagers and young men have drifted apart from society. And so now they don't really learn in school or with like interactions with women at younger age. They don't know how to interact with each other as well as maybe I guess my generation or Blonde's generation or even Jay, I don't know how old Jay is, but his generation maybe may have. And so they have less social skills. So yeah, I would agree with you. There is an aspect of it where women, VTubers particularly, are preying on men that don't understand how to interact with women and they want that parasocial relationship. But there's also a degree of responsibility here. Whose fault is it really if someone is being taken advantage of? You know,
yeah, like, I mean, at the end of the day. I agree. That's a good point of view. I didn't think about it from the point of view of like in the way that it levels the playing field and makes it so that personality pulls more to the top if all avatars are attractive, right? That's correct. A good point. And yeah. I men respect that point of view.
Yeah, men are not treated the same way. Like men, yeah, you could be ugly as sin. I mean, it helps to be attractive, no question. I mean, look at Biceptimus Prime. But let's be honest. Most men, when you get up in front of you can't stand up there and like realistically tell me that like, oh, Blue, you're popular because you're attractive. Get off. Get out of here. That's not how that works. Men are typically judged more on like their success, their entertainment value, and other things. And so again, I look at it from a perspective: are they taking advantage of some men? Sure, but I think that the amount that is actually happening in like with regards to the greater scope of Twitch is probably under 1%. Like VTubers and like OnlyFans girls and things like this are probably only like in the 1% of content. That's why you don't see them very well represented. Does it happen? Absolutely. But like I think that it's kind of a necessary thing because again it gives women a chance to succeed in a category that is dominated as a male space, in my opinion. But yeah, no, I mean, we could agree to disagree on that. I'm actually curious.
I do agree with you on that aspect, and I think it's also probably one of those things where it's like you kind of get these confirmation biases the closer you are to seeing people like divulge or fall into that kind of spiraling thing, right? Mm-hmm. And it does go back to the whole, like, how as a society, I mean, this is kind of a philosophical thing, but we've kind of become less able to socialize in person, right?
Correct.
And so that definitely plays 100%. Part into it.
Yep. But yeah, yeah. Actually, I curious mean, what
Jay gave me and... something to think about.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. Well, that's the whole point of the podcast. Jay, how do you actually, you know what? Jay, we'll get your opinion last because you are a VTuber. Blonde, how do you feel about VTubers? Now that you've heard kind of both sides of the fence, how do you really feel about VTubers? Do you feel like they're killing Twitch? Do you not like them? I know that VTubers, a lot of people just straight up do not like VTubers at all for basically exactly the reason that Kerr stated. False advertising is the way that they see it a lot of the time.
I initially agree with Kerr. I think that it's I think that two things can be true at once, right? I think it can be true that that's a problem and it's a plague and it's it's an issue. I think it can also be true that, like, it does level the playing field, but I think that's just, like, a completely separate thing. I think that the fact that we can, like, have, like, an equal thing where, like, oh, all of them are attractive, so, like, we're actually just looking based on personality, like, that can be a real true thing that does happen, that people get, like, everybody has prejudices. We get past those when we, you know, oh, it's, like, a hot cam model, whatever, and then now I'm, like, actually getting to know who you are, and so now my opinion's completely changed. I think that it's, I think that can be true while also saying that they can still be manipulating people.
Oh, 100%.
Those two things can be true. That's so I agree with Kerr, yeah. But I also can understand that, like, it does level the playing field in a male-dominated market. I think that those things are true as well. But I think that it's also problematic because it's like in certain scenarios you have women fighting women because you have women...
Oh, women love manipulating women.
And abusing a certain group of people, and it
women
can just kind of get like
women.
Haywire when, well, yeah, but it's like, but it's because like a lot, there are some women trying to set a precedent, like, we don't have to do this, we don't have to wear booba shirts, we don't have to wear this, we don't have to do that, and then it's like you have some women that'll just take a full advantage of every possible opportunity, which, I mean, yes, queen, whatever, but I think that like both sides have merit to their perspective, I would say.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm actually interested to see what people are going to say in the comments about this. Guys, remember to like the video. You've actually been watching it for like almost an hour and a half at this point. Please remember to like the video. It helps in the algorithm tremendously. If you also on Spotify, remember to leave a like or a comment on Spotify as well. We try to read everybody's comments, especially the YouTube comments particularly, because that's where most of the people leave feedback there. Let's do closing thoughts on this. We'll start with Jay.
Closing thoughts.
Jay, I forgot to ask your opinion on VTubers. I am so sorry. Oh my God. Okay, so Jay, give us your thoughts on VTubing, and then I'll let you have a last word, and then you get to do your closing thoughts as compensation.
I am biased towards VTubers because I do VTubing, and so I think it's an interesting part of the online world, right? They've kind of blended streaming and the sort of performance and this like virtual identity to entertain people, and you know, people have many reasons for doing VTubing, whether it's to manipulate people and steal their money from lonely people, or to just have that, you know, that fun entertainment kind of value, similar to, like, I don't know, I kind of equated it to, oh, instead of watching, I don't know, live action films, you're watching like anime or something like that. It's just like a different kind of entertainment in that way, is kind of how I've been talking about how VTubers are. And so I mean, for me, it's mostly has been a really fun experience to get into this whole thing. There's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes that goes into like maintaining the VTubing thing. I have like a whole setup here with like cameras and the lighting, and to make sure everything is like going, you know, well from a technical standpoint, right? There's that technical standpoint that I really enjoyed with all this setup. And obviously, like, hey, like, if you're someone who just wants to, you know, stream in their underpants, you can, because, you know, they can't see it, right? But yeah, I mean, VTubing has been a really positive experience for me. I've usually been a very, like, what's the word for it? Like, keeping to myself kind of person, where I don't really share too much. I've mostly been just, you know,
Introverted,
on my own, on introverted. That's the best. Yeah, thank you, Kerr. Yes, I've mostly been an introverted person, but really, like, streaming, being able to have some sort of, like, persona or, like, a visual to express myself has been really, I don't know, really good for my mental health in terms of, you know, letting things out, because I usually just keep things in, which I still do, but I think with this whole, like, content creation and stuff like that, that has been such a opening experience for me. It's definitely, again, I'm very, very biased towards VTubers because that's what I focus on, is that aspect, is me putting myself out there, being it. Because when you do any kind of content creation, right, whether you're on YouTube or Twitch, you sign yourself up to be judged and criticized. And maybe that VTubing avatar is kind of a way for you to maybe protect yourself from a little bit of that, you know, because you gotta be strong. You gotta be strong mentally to be able to handle, like, a lot of these, you know, negative comments sometimes. I know that in 2020, 2021, like, the VTubing scene, that's kind of where it kind of exploded, right? People saw Iron Moss. I think Iron Moss is when she started in 2020-ish, right? Like, that early stage. People didn't really understand it. People had a very negative view of it. But now I think it's getting into more normal, like, more normalized, how people view it. So I'm glad that it's grown so much, and I'm happy to be a part of the community. I know there's a lot of, like, drama here and there, but hey, there's drama everywhere, whether it's VTubing or, like, IRL stuff. I don't know, but I'm just here along for the ride, you know? So,
all right. Yeah, no. Yeah, like I said, I will give you again. Okay. So Jay, what are your closing thoughts real quick? I'll give you the last word there.
Closing thoughts. So I was going to say, closing thought first, thank you, Kerr, for agreeing to come onto the podcast. You're always a pleasure to have on, and thank you for giving us your perspective on things. As for BDO, we'll see.
Oh, we'll see. My you can God, find me live bro.
twitch.tv/JakeandBT. Be before the team.
Jay is saying, we'll see, bro. We're cooked. We're so cooked, bro. It used to be Blonde would say it every time, but, like, you know, Jay would kind of say it as V. Now he's like, oh, God, bro, we're so cooked. All right, Blonde, you want to give us closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts. Jay is eating the ice cream, and he said, is it poison?
Oh, God,
I don't know. We'll
dude.
See.
I can't wait for the comments.
He just said, I'm eating the possibly poisonous ice cream. I just, I love just ice saying. Cream.
The comments are going to go so hard on this podcast.
Babies love ice cream, too. Yeah, I mean, I unironically would like to see in 5 years which game will be at their peak or at their downfall. I'm really curious to see what that's going to be like. I'm going to probably have to get a time capsule to remind myself or send an email in the future. But yeah, I don't know.
It's
we'll
not
see.
That deep, Lon. It's not that deep. It's not...
Oh, it's extremely
no, it's
deep, Jay.
No. It's
it
not
is
that deep.
Deep. It is extremely deep.
All right. And as for me, I would like... I'm trying not to comment on I'm trying to let Jay have the last word. I'm trying to, it's like a mental, like I'm trying to let him have the last word on the podcast thing. I will say that again, yeah, you do get a lot of hate in content creation with regards to, like, a different topic he said. You know, you get a lot of hate from people as a VTuber. You get a lot of hate in general as a creator, and it only gets worse as you get bigger. You just have to learn how to deal with it better. Mm-hmm. I think, again, I try to shelter. I think if my mom knew how much hate I got on a regular basis just on the internet, I think she would not be able to sleep at night thinking about it. It would be crazy. But that's okay, because they have no idea. We're good. But, like, I mean, hey, that's the job. You know what I mean? You get to be, you know, pros. You get to play video games for a living. You know, cons. People are constantly going to try to come after you. And people are always going to be after you. You know what I mean? And that's just how it is. And it's especially true for, like, VTubers, right? VTubers get a lot of hate as well. So, yeah, guys, remember, I get 2 YouTube videos every day. The Throne of Liberty tournament is about to start. So for the people that really love my BDO content, remember, I am going to be shifting my time slot. I'm going to, yeah, okay, but no, I did stop. Dude, you can't even say that. I quit. I play more than everybody in this podcast put together. That's the crazy thing, is that I play the most. Okay. Anyway, I will have to be doing 2-a-day streams. So we're going to be basically streaming BDO in the morning. Either it's on Blue Squad Chill, which is my alt channel, or Blue Squad in the main channel. And then we'll have to, like, raid someone or throw it over to someone. And then we're going to be doing Throne in Liberty's tournament basically every single day, except for Sundays, for, like, the next month. It starts on the 26th, which I believe is this coming Monday, getting preparations ready for the tournament. That's why I haven't been live today. That's why I'm not going to be live probably tomorrow or the next day, is I'm really trying to make sure that this production value is going to be good, because it's going to be a super big deal for me and my content creation. You'll see the videos start to churn out on YouTube, but I will absolutely be trying to keep up with my BDO content as well. So we're going to keep trying, fighting the good fight, try to put out a BDO video every single day as we go through that tournament and push through that. And then as the tournament ends, we're going to be looking right at the Heidel Ball. It's almost like I planned it that way. So we're going to come right to the end of the Throne of Liberty tournament and then right into the hype for the Heidel Ball. Should be really, really sick. And I'm very excited for that, but I'm going to try to keep things going. Just remember, guys, my entire time slot is going to move up to like 7 a.m. or something. I have to stream in the morning, which is going to be a little bit hard. But you know what? It is what it is. Now, I do want to shift the attention towards Kerr. Kerr, I want to say thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. You did a great job. You're a natural at this, but then again, you ran a lot of podcasts back in the day too. I appreciate your insight as a returning player. You seem to know a lot about content creation. You have a very firm grasp of how the category functions and what it takes to kind of be a content creator in the category, and game respect game, man, on that fact there. So where can people find you? Are you going to be making more content? You doing YouTube, Twitch? Give yourself a shout out here.
No shout out currently, but if I do start doing content, depending on how the ball goes, it definitely will be on Twitch. So instead, I want to do a closing remark, I don't know, and kind of make an address to each one of you individually, and kind of like, I don't know, express, you know, fond memories or just thoughts. So for example, Blonde Bear, I'll start with you because you're at the top right. I remember the first time that I met Blonde Bear, okay? There was this guy, and I always saw screenshots of him hitting random ass Tri and Ted accessories and people talking about him being the RNG god. And I was watching a Potion Shop stream. Potion was like, we need a third for Miramach. Anyone want to grind Miramach? That dates us. That's many years ago. And I somehow got picked to be in that party. And I grinded with Potion Shop and Blonde Bear at Miramach for like 5 hours, man. And at that time, I was a fanboy. So, Blonde, you know, I know right now you don't have that BDO passion, but I remember those days. I remember those bright eyes, bushy tailed days, hitting Ted Ogres and all these other things. I remember. Mm-hmm. So, it was great always seeing you, you know, even when you were getting destroyed for years by the Merchant Ring, not stopping.
You know, just a little bit of grinding. No big deal.
Yeah. Blue, I think one of the funny things is, though we've never had a chance to actually talk or interact, I want to know that, watching you shot call from time to time over the years, and the way you just absolutely rage out, and I love when you just call out people's names that are following the calls or in position. It's just like amazing background noise over the years. And I know you said over, you know, a couple of days that, you know, you thought like I didn't like you or anything. No, it's never like, it's not like that. I'm just kind of, you know, a lot of times I'll just stay to myself. I try to, you know, stay off to the side most of the time, but never had anything against you. And honestly, I don't think I'll ever will. Keep up making the content.
Depends on how many videos you like to watch about me. It's honestly crazy. but I got that. I got that idea because you were a part of the top 1% community, and usually there's a lot of PvPers in the PvP community that, let's be honest, they're super toxic, right? So, like, you can get the wrong idea of me pretty quickly if you don't watch my stuff or if you just believe everything you hear on the internet without at face value. So I appreciate you giving me the benefit of the doubt. It's actually ironic that you say you love my shot calling content. It's sad that that actually has not happened in well over a year now. For BDO, at least. I shot call still for Throne and Liberty now, but that content's basically gone now, and I'm hoping that it comes back with the ball. I do. I hope it comes back with the ball. But okay, so now you were going to rotate over to Jay. We haven't said anything else about Jay
and
yet.
Closing remarks to Jay. So Jay, I don't actually think VTubing's killing Twitch. Okay, that was obviously an overreaction, but I do feel some. I do feel pretty passionate about how it's kind of been perverse to manipulate people. Okay, but not by everyone. Anyway, I'd like that over for such a long time now that you've always find a way to stay positive about BDO. Always find a way to like spread positivity and happiness and just always willing to interact with every single person that comes into your chat, regardless of whether you have 300 people watching you or 30 people watching you. Even when you like, you don't even shy away from streaming other games. I know a lot of BDO content creators, you know, they refuse to stream other games because, oh no, like I now get 5% of the viewers that I get on BDO. No, you don't care. You play the games you want to play. You have fun with the people you have fun with, and you try to find, you know, some joy out of everything that you do. At least that's the aura that you give off. And I resonate with that. You know, a lot of times where, you know, I haven't been feeling the best, I know I can always tune into your stream and it's like good vibes. So keep that up.
Completely disagree. I think that Jaekoon, honestly, to your point earlier, Kerr, I think that Jaekoon has been maliciously taking advantage of and farming simps, men on the internet.
Wait, is it working? Is he farming me?
Yeah, have I been
psyops? Yes. Oh my god.
Yep. Jay is a 400-pound soda gulping behemoth. Okay. Behind that microphone. True. Okay.
He got you.
And he is farming.
I got him.
All right. Okay, but in all seriousness, guys, remember to comment on the podcast. Remember to like the podcast. If you're listening on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, we thank you guys. From all of us here at the Old Mood Podcast, have a great rest of your week.